Okay. Thank you, Dr. Reuter. And yeah, my colleague has the microphone, and yeah, just raise your hand if you have questions. Okay, here, Mr. Rao, first question, please.
Hi, it's Thomas Rao from MM Warburg speaking. Three questions, please. First of all, could you please elaborate on the conditions of the refinancing you arranged last week, and in this context, what the impacts could be on the financial result 2010 and going forward? Secondly, on your cost-cutting program, could you please split the restructuring charges in 2009 for the individual divisions, and which cost savings you also expect in these divisions going forward? And lastly, on page 13 of your presentation, 13, you mentioned that you have committed profit EBIT targets for systems as well, and this also would include portfolio measures. Is this an indication that you think about divesting one or the other business in systems, such as LSW or any other one? Thank you.
Okay, well, the first question was conditions of
different fees and margin points on Euribor, but based on today's expectation, we have to expect that the financial result can be twice the negative number of 2009. This would exceed in the 20 million euros. Looking forward, as I mentioned before, the financing we have now in place is for us a starting point to restructure the whole liability side. It's also mentioned that we have to refinance the convertible bond until August 2011, and you can be sure that management is motivated, besides the operational issues we have to work on and are working on, that also the liability structure we have today with only equity and, let's say, a minor convertible bond volume of 69 million, and the rest is short-term financing, is not the structure we would consider as target structure. So we are working on different positions on the liability side, also the long-term liability side, especially concerning the financial position. And in connection with operational business performing better in 2010 and the different liability structure, there is also potential to bring down the financial negative result in 2011 ongoing. But for 2010, you have to expect that financial results, depending on the utilization of the line, could be twice the negative number of 2010, could be twice the negative number of 2009.
Thank you. Maybe one additional on that. Would the 20 or the 22 for 2010, would that include any one-off charge? Or is that a sustainable?
This includes fees, and in IFRS you have different levels of fees. You have fees you write down over time. It means you capitalize them and write them down over time. And you have one-offs which incur when you sign. So this includes then both components. Yeah? Okay, cost-cutting. I understood, Walter, that you answered the question.
Yeah, let me give you an overview about the cost reduction program. We filled it in five buckets. First, it's a process and structure optimization, which is mainly focused on the non-production departments. Second, we have the purchasing cost reduction and material price reduction. Then we have the design to cost measures. And fourth, the production focused measurements. And fifth is the indirect costs. In total, we are focusing on on recurring cost improvements in 2009, which is about 42 million euros. Then we have the non-recurring, which is about 28 million euros for 2009. 2010 will be, as outlined in the presentation, about €65 to €70 million, and this is the recurring cost reduction and the non-recurring of about €20 million. So that we are coming in total €80 to €90 million. And it's like, and you have to compare the KUKA like a sportsman. You have to train your muscles every day, and we are looking in every of these five buckets to find measures which we add so that it's a permanent and a continuous improving program.
Could you please split them for systems?
Yeah.
That means how many restructuring charges for systems and for robotics, please?
Your question, I think, was for 2009, the charges. Yeah.
Okay.
But in 2009, €9.6 million were charged to robotics, and 23.8 were charged to the systems business. Welcome.
Okay, I think the third question was on the margin target. I think what you have written down is the committed targets, which are fulfillable. So we, you know, if you set margin targets which no one can fulfill, that's the clear indication that you have wanted to dispose something. These margins are still reachable for all divisions, and the business plans which we have with these divisions are hitting these margins over time. So that's not an indication that we're going to dispose, as is shown here. But still, we are discussing also potential disposals. But that's nothing; it's not indicated by the margin target. That's really a margin target which can be reached. But in case it would not be reached, we have to find another solution, because otherwise it doesn't make sense to have margin targets.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, it's Sebastian Hubert from UBS. I have a follow-up question on your margin targets. You have set them at some 10% and even above 10% for robots, and in systems at 5% and at 8%, while the overall target is just 5% and 10%. How can that be? Is there something I am missing that you will not end up above 10%? And in your Q3 presentation of 2009, you were quite confident, Mr. Reuter, on the quick turnaround of KUKA to achieve that margin target by 2011. Is that still valid? Thank you.
What would be the quantitative side? Should be higher than 5%. But still, I think we see that 5% is the target we want to achieve, because we want to have a solid basis here. In robotics, we have 10%, and in advanced, we have above 10%. Advanced robotics, I mentioned that one part of advanced robotics is the medtech applications. And in medtech, I also mentioned that over 3 to 5 years, we want to go to 50 to 100 million revenue. And if you compare margins in the medtech application to automotive, it's much higher. So that's something where you don't want to do the average on the three, because it's depending on how fast advance is going to grow. We see the 50 to 100 in 3 to 5 years, but overall it should be above 5. So it's that's the one topic. Second, you mentioned the Q3 numbers when we discussed the sales and the revenue and the margin targets. As you mentioned, that for the group we were targeting 6 to 7%. We were making clear that the 6 to 7% for the whole group are depending on two things: on two-thirds on the cost measures that we achieved to get down our break-even to 900. I think the program, together with Walter and Stefan, we came down with the break-even from 1 billion to 950, and want to go in 2010 to 900. On the growth side, we today, and I think the single-digit growth numbers, if you apply them to today's 900, we are ending up at something between 950 and 960, around this number. And the question then, how strong is going to be 2011 to develop? So the single-digit growth number in 2010 we see as conservative, but we want to fulfill it, stay in our guidance, and I'm more happy to overfulfill than to be below our targets. And for 2011, it really much depends on how quick the economy is coming back.
Okay, thank you.
Bastian Synagowitz from Deutsche Bank. Just to come back on the margin target, so is basically the sales level of 1.1 billion still valid, which you would need to get to these 6 to 7%? And then specifically, again, on the covenant situation for the refinancing structure, maybe you can give us some more details here. Do you have any specific covenant, basically, which is attached to the equity ratio? Thanks.
Well, I think that the first question concerning the required 1.1 billion, this statement is still valid, and therefore it's important concerning the 5 and 10% EBIT targets. It's not a question of the timeline, it's a question of when does the market provide, again, 1.1 billion euro revenue potential for KUKA. Is it 2011 or 2012? It depends on the development of the market. It depends also on KUKA's development. I want to add also that concerning the advanced robotics, where we have target margins greater than 10%, this is something that shows KUKA's long-term potential. It's not the initial part of the story for 2011. Concerning the covenants, we have the usual financial covenants. This is mainly the leverage. It's also then the net debt value. Then we have some specific covenants. This is the one thing is that we have to inject further 23 million of equity until June. We have also, you can consider as covenant, that we have to provide refinancing for the convertible bond until August 2011. These are specific covenants. The next one is that for the next 2 years we also cannot pay dividends. But I think this is something which I would say the investor should expect based on KUKA's development in 2009, considering 2010 also as a transition year, which will not provide normally then after-tax results to be distributed to the investors. And also 2011 has to prove that KUKA is back on track concerning profitability. I think this is the roadmap KUKA has to follow, and it's important that investors understand also that KUKA is on this roadmap. The other financial covenants are also typically like equity-related ratios, but this also considers that we have this 23 million capital injection. This is simply to make sure that KUKA is also reflected in the covenants, this capital injection of at least 23 million. I think it's important here to note that this is the minimum level to realize a 23 million capital injection until June. Depending on the market condition, depending also on the operational position of KUKA and the performance of KUKA, it's for sure it can be more, depending on the conditions as we see them during Q2.
Maybe let me add to this topic is 23 million new money equity or equity-like contribution is backed by Kreuzebach, so we have a guarantee of 50 million. I think we have all a big comfort that we raise this money because we have seen in November we have done this that roadshow but having the one-on-ones with certain investors, and we had a big demand for shares which was above the 27 we raised, so I think we could have raised like the double or more of the size. So the missing link of 8 million is no problem for us. We don't see other problem, and Kreuzberg is backing the capital increase until amount of 15 million.
Okay. Next question, Mr. Schäfer, please.
Thank you, Michael Schäfer, Quinet. I have three questions, if I may. First, follow up to your cost-cutting target. Could you just elaborate on the associated costs you're expecting in 2010 in order to achieve the additional recurring cost on an annual basis? Second question, is on the robotics business. In the annual report, you're referring to World Robotics Outlook for 15% CAGR on unit basis for the upcoming years, which, according to my math, would take 5 years in order to bring the volume back to 2008 level. So I wonder what your view is on your targets in the robotics space on top line growth here. And in relation also to the robotics, you're referring to possible adjustment of the product portfolio when talking about robotics. What's behind this, are there also additional, let's say, costs associated to those potential portfolio measures? Thanks.
Well, concerning your first question, this, if I understood it correctly, was which P&L charges should we expect in 2010 related to the cost cutting in 2010? It will be a much lower amount than in 2009. From today's perspective, from our estimate how the market, how KUKA develops in 2010, we expect charges in the range of high one-digit numbers in millions or low two-digit numbers. So it's remarkably less than in 2009. Why? I would say that a major portion of the headcount reduction we have performed in 2009, and then especially the headcount reduction is also always the expensive part of such restructuring activities. In 2010, the focus is more on the material side, so this is change of processes. There might also be some headcount reductions related then to process redesigns, but the major positive impact in 2010 is then expected in different processes in the materials area that we can save then on the purchasing side, where normally you have no restructuring charges related to that. Is that sufficient? What is your question?
I think on the next question on the robotic, how we see the top line robotic, I think we clearly see that certain trends have an impact on the automation level and on the growth of the robotic market. We see on a single-digit growth for 2010, it would be easy to have a higher number here, but we want to have a starting point where we will 100% deliver these numbers. I think we have trends in, if you look at e-auto, e-car, if you see sustainability, if you see the medtech applications, so we have certain areas where we have on the one hand new markets, which allow a growth above the levels we see today. And we also see that the higher flexibility of the production plans of the automotive customers also are a driver for having robots in the plant and in the manufacturing. So we see clearly a trend towards further automation. And this whole trend, further automation in the mid-sized companies, this all together comes to growth rates which are above our. And we show that our growth is really achievable in 2010 and above. On the portfolio of products, one key strength of KUKA is the R&D, and we have an R&D spend of approximately 35 million in 2009. Also for 2010, we will have a relatively high R&D spending because it's key to develop the products for next year, for 2 and 3 years, and that's something we as a management see the strengths and the focus of KUKA, and we don't want to, we could cut costs in 2010 by driving down the R&D budget by 10 million and being much more positive, but that will hit back in 2 or 3 years. Therefore, I think we want to invest, and while cutting costs in certain areas, on the R&D side, we still are investor and want to have the products for 2 and 3 years.
Mr. Henke, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Henke Westerby. I'd like to play a little bit the Advocatus Diaboli because, when looking, let's say, a longer term at your company and also looking backward, then hearing about the 5% margin here, 10% margin there, some growth perspectives which are very strong in the very long term but which cannot be quantified, I'm hearing since ages, for example, you are moving into general industry, into medtech, something like this. We heard it already for a couple of years. We are hearing it or heard it last year. We are hearing it now, today, from different management teams. How can investors now be confident, really? I wouldn't say to trust you, but to trust the strategy and to trust the KUKA strategy that it will pay off and that investors will now be really rewarded and that you are finally taking, hopefully, the right steps to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key question I have, besides some, housekeeping questions, just for you, Mr. Schulach. Tax rate, question mark for this year and ongoing maybe. Regarding your, outsourcing, moving into low-cost countries, that's what I appreciate. what are there your specific measures you are doing, concrete things you are targeting this year? Yeah, and finally, again, being Advocatus Diaboli, Mr. Reuter, how long will you head the company?
Yeah.
Apologies for this question.
No. Let me start because, and I like the Advocatus Diaboli because I think everybody's interested in this question and in the answers. I think you all, most of you know KUKA or IWK for a long time. And if you go back and see KUKA, I think we had in the last 5 years at least 3 CEOs and 3 CFOs. So there's a history of non-decision making at KUKA because most of the managers were there for 1 year. I think a couple of them were less than 1 year there. So if you run a year round, you can't make decisions unless you really have a stable supervisory board and a stable shareholder basis. So what has changed? Last year, as a shareholder, I wasn't, we weren't happy with the execution of the management and what they have really done in developing KUKA further. Hopefully, you have seen that on the one hand, we have today a much more efficient management team. On the second level, we have established advanced and we have done a capital increase after 5 weeks. You know, I think the old management, I offered them a capital increase last February. If they would have done the capital increase by 10%, we would have no financial crisis. So just, I think we are here as management are really doing what we're talking, and on one hand has to give us a little bit of trust that we're going to deliver. On the Lightbit robot as a product example, with Daimler working together, and we have with Daimler contract on delivery of the lightweight. 50,000 gearboxes have been manufactured, so and I'm talking about also working with the clients on new products. But overall, I think hopefully we have shown since October that we have on this what we have ticked on page one, we have delivered, and therefore there's a change. And I think that's also, if you look back in the supervisor board, we have Krenzenbach with 26% today, we have Guy with 8%, so we have a stability and a continuity. And for me, either as I'm a shareholder and have the shares of Krenzenbach pooled with my shares, so standing here for 26%. I will stay with the company as a CEO and as a chairman, and that's the continuity we need and to really to work on strategy and to execute strategy. And if we have a CEO, is it Tim Reuter or someone else, that's only a person. We can talk about people. But I think we have a plan, and the plan which we have seen is a starting point where we have to work on the key strengths and some weakness, but that's a starting point to work on. And either as a CEO or chairman, I will work on this plan. And the CEO, which we are also searching, and they're good candidates to work for KUKA because KUKA is a brand. People like KUKA. And today in Munich, there were 30, 35 people. Here today, we can see that KUKA is still a brand. It's known by people, and it has an attraction because of the products. There are lots of CEOs around, but on the one hand, it's finding the right guy and having the right timing. And now we have enough time until September to find the right guy and to be open. I will stay with KUKA as long as it's required as CEO. So if you find the right guy tomorrow and you're all happy, I'm going back to the supervisor board. If it's required a longer time, I will stay here and execute the strategy.
Well, tax rate for 2010, I expect it to be still negative. The reason why is that based on the current outlook for 2010, we're talking about an operating EBIT, which is positive, but when you include then also then the financing costs, then you know that the pre-tax is a loss position. So we expect that we have a quite similar situation in 2010 compared to 2009 on the tax side. We're expecting profitable entities, especially in the States, with current tax expense then. But on the other hand, the loss situation in Germany, we do not today expect that we increase further the capitalized deferred tax assets on this position. So this is normally nothing which would be added to the deferred tax assets, which then also at the end of the day means that we have then also the negative tax rate in 2010. But it should be a number which shouldn't be too high. When 2011 then performs in the right way, this means especially that we have to turn around on the pre-tax basis, especially also in Germany.
then we should come back quickly to normalized tax rates in the range of 35%, which is then the mixed tax rate for a business which is distributed around the world, with the lower tax rates in Germany, but then the higher tax rates now in States.
Then I come to the next point and the next question, which was the material cost reduction, which is mainly focused on the low-cost country sourcing. I think we defined for robots and also for the system business unit material groups, and we look every material group by material group, what is our sourcing share regarding low-cost countries, and is it worth doing that? Because, for example, to give you a really example, we had some part which we tried to source from China. We get the quotes, and the quotes was much more higher than we had done it here in Germany, because it was so specific that the speciality, the suppliers want to have more money from you, as it is in Germany. And we found out that the supplier which the Chinese guy used was a German one. And therefore, I think low-cost country sourcing is the right way to do. We have the first steps done in this direction, because we used our Chinese legal entities as a hub for low-cost country sourcing, because it's also a network and a relationship which you must have in the different countries. And we use, for example, for design, capabilities in India, we use capabilities also in China. Therefore, we are on the right way to do that. But I think if you think in a big volume, you have to do also some homework on standardization. And Till gave you in his presentation an outview of what we are doing on standardization, because if you try to make sure that the supplier helps you to reduce the specialties, you have to pay much more. And therefore, this is one step in this total program, and also in the design to cost program, to get this standardization done.
Then next question, Mr. Terzic, please. On the other side, please. Mm-hmm.
BZ Bank. Well, I got a question with respect to your margin targets. So you said that you have strict margin targets for the groups. Could we also get a time frame when those margin targets has to be achieved? The second point is that you mentioned that your guidance may be viewed as conservative. So my question then pertains to the relative view on your Q3 confidence. Are you now more confident to achieve the guidance and the revenues of 1.1 billion, or that there was a more negative change with respect to this? And maybe you can give us some lights on your possible capital increase. So can we get a roadmap, or maybe an indication for the size you would like to raise? Should we expect a big capital increase, or is a small capital increase more likely?
Maybe first on the margin targets. I think the margin targets are margin targets we want to achieve in 2010, to be honest. So margin targets are in the, you talk about 2 to 3 years for the business divisions, which direction. On the, I indicated that for 2010, the mid-single-digit growth rate is on the conservative side. We want to overfill our guidance here, which we are giving. So, but still we are talking about mid-single-digit numbers, so we don't want to give you other numbers. We still stick to this number. So if you're coming from 900, you're talking about 950 in this range. So that's the basis for 2010. For 2011, as Stefan and I and as Walter mentioned, it's depending on the coming back of the economic, what's happening in the economy this year. If we see further growth, we also will be seen in our numbers. But for 2010, we have this single-digit growth, and for 2011, we see, depending on the market, a higher growth rate. On the capital increase, 23 million is clearly the requirement from the financing side. And if you're looking at the lower end, 23, we're having 15 million as a backup, so we're looking at 8 million of equity, which is the basis. I think the whole capital increase is depending on the one hand on the market conditions and how much one could place. And we have not decided on the size of the capital increase, and also depending on the product. I think for the product which you have seen today, we have in the budget, so we would have also to show the investors for the product that we need this money for growth. And I think in total, 23 is a must. Much more is depending on the market conditions.
Maybe one follow-up with respect to your confidence. Are you now more confident to reach the 1.1 billion sales in 2011 compared to your view in Q3? There was
maybe I
change.
Can add something. The important thing was concerning the Q3 guidance. We're not working, let's say, primarily on a time target. We're working on a business model, on a financial model. And the major statement was that we want to implement a financial model which is capable to provide the 5-10% EBIT margin on the 1.1 billion top line base. And this is still valid that we're working on this model. Currently, what is our best estimate on the market side? We said we have mid-single-digit growth in 2010. This delivers round about 950 million euros if you're not working with numbers. Then we said for 2011 a high single-digit growth. This would bring you today not to 1.1, but bring you to 1.05 million today. What you can expect from KUKA, and this is also what our statement is, and also where we have to be accounted for. When 2011 would work in a way that we achieve 1.1 billion based on the market development, especially in 2011, which it's too early to talk about today, then you could expect that KUKA, the financial model, is capable to provide the 5 and 10% EBIT margins.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
I think the same that we worked on the cost side of break-even is going down from 1 billion to 950 to 900 over. So in 2009 we went down to 950, and our target for 2010 is to go down to 900, just for your money.
Okay, so next question please, Mr. Remit.
Thank you. Howard Remit, LBBW. One follow-up question concerning the adjustment of robotics portfolio. Do you think they're about acquisitions, or is it a question of concentrating the range of products you have in the portfolio? In the classical portfolio, let me say. And second question concerning your presentation on page 13, the systems growth initiative. What are your strategic options in general industry to increase your sales, which is mentioned there? And the second point, the setup of assembly systems. What does it mean in view of LSW? Is it a new setup, or is it just a changing what you're doing at the moment now? And what direction means assembly systems? Is it at the moment, I think it's motors and such things. Mm-hmm. Do you think also in other products?
It's not different. It's different, yeah. Maybe let me start on the M&A side. Unfortunately, we're not in M&A mode. We'd be happy to do M&A because that's what I've done in the past. I think we have a big R&D budget, and our products and portfolio on the robot side is driven by own R&D. We talked about financing, so M&A would mean that we have some money to spend, and it's depending much more. Maybe if there would be opportunities on the midterm, we might use the capital increase to get money for M&A, but currently the robotic product adjustment is purely based on internal measures and only on the R&D base we have. Then you were mentioning the options on the system side. I think on systems we have the automotive side and we have general industry. In general industry we have certain areas, for example aerospace and solar. And in aerospace and solar we have some food in the market, but we are relatively late in this market. And the question is, are there potential partners that we may be together as a joint venture or in certain ways combining business, combining sales to get a higher market share and to work on certain markets more efficiently
where Kuka maybe has strengths, but a partner could bring strengths to the table, where together one and one is more than two. On the third question, assembly. The new assembly, the final assembly and assembly of the gearboxes is not the LSW assembly. It's a different one. So in the whole production line, you have the body and white part in the beginning and the paint shop, and then you have final assembly as a part of the production where you have currently less automation. And we have on the one hand the final assembly, which is not plain, not LSW, as one potential area of business. The automotive clients today in final assembly, and also in the body and white area, you have some areas of assembly where smaller robots can have certain areas. It's not the LSW business. It could be parts in body and white and parts in final assembly.
I want to add one thing, because now the question was raised the second time concerning the adjustment of the product portfolio in the robotics business. Just for understanding, today Kuka delivers robots from 5 kilograms to 1,300 kilograms, and we have very many different types of robots for this product range. The new generation, enables us to reduce the complexity of our product types, because we can serve the same market with lower number of variations of the product. Or maybe it's misleading or misunderstanding is possible when you read here product portfolio adjustment possible. When you think about carve out of business or something else, this is a misunderstanding. It's simply the reduction of different types of products based on the new generation. Yeah.
Okay, so next question. Then Mr. Schramm was? Yeah, Mr. Schramm, please.
Mr. Schramm, HSBC, can you share with us your current capacity utilization and how it looks like in respect of short-term work? And can we expect that this 1.1 billion sales target, whenever you reach it, is possible with the current headcount approximately, or would you then have to build up certain capacities again? You have cut down. Another question, can you share with us also your current production or project pipeline? What is your visibility, especially also in systems? What is here the competition doing? Because we should expect that competition also has some idle capacity around, and that therefore the chasing for projects is very tough at the moment, and that's also the pricing environment might not look very good. So what's your comment on this? Thank you.
So I would start maybe with a question concerning sales targets and the available capacity. Are we capable to generate these sales numbers? When you look, for example, in the robot business, it's not difficult really for us to completely back to volumes we had in 2008. Yeah? It's a product business. Here the main bottleneck would be the parts area. But from a headcount perspective, we're working with temporary workers here, and we can quickly increase here the number of produced robots per week. So on the robot side, it's no problem. On the system side, also we have seen that we have reduced temporary workers, and the reduction of total headcounts is the main measure to reduce the break-even point. So in the systems area, it's important that in the future, the people we have laid off, that we not add them back on our own payroll basis, but add them back on a temporary workers basis. And I don't see major problems concerning the know-how base of these people, but also in the systems area, it shouldn't be a problem also to come back to sales numbers compared to 2008 with the existing number of own headcounts.
Yep.
Do you have short-time work still on your...
Yeah, for sure. For sure, we're using the short-time work in 2010 also. It depends on the current order situation. For example, in the robot business, there could be weeks with high utilization. There can be weeks with low utilization. And then you use also then partly a short time, and also in systems areas, it depends also on the project flow of the huge projects. We still use the short time work, and we have also granted from the Arbeitsagentur for a whole 2010 short time work for all German entities. Concerning capacitization, I think, Walter, you want to mention something?
Yeah, if you look at the possibilities which we have in the robot business, I think we have, we started with the capacity of about 130 robots per week. We are going up to 200 robots per week, so, and the maximum output which we can deliver is 250. Robots per week, so that we could see that the market is really getting more power. And regarding the systems business, we have up to now a utilization over the especially, and you must be very careful, the systems business, we have a lot of legal entities in this business unit, and we have focused, and the main problems which we had is in the systems Augsburg, and there we have a utilization of about 65%, so that we use all these different measures to reduce our working force. And we discussed this a few questions before, that we have the possibility with the short time work approach to be very flexible and reacting how the market is going. And therefore, this is one of the main focus of the program in 2010, to adjust the capacity to the need of the market.
I think just to add to the questions you had, on the competition side, I think we have both markets. On the one hand, we have the product market, robot side, and we have the project business, Anlagenbau. On the robotic side, we, as you have seen in the first pages, we have gained market share. We were not decreasing as much as competition, which is not good, but it's better than competition. Competition is tougher, and I think the new generation of robots, which is going to be launched this year, will help us to be again a trendsetter, to be ahead of the curve, or at least be on comparable to Farnock on the cost side, but on the feature side having a great advantage. On the project business, on the system side, we have the you know the competition, ThyssenKrupp, ABB, Kamal. It's a project, you're selling hours, you're selling engineers. It's a tough market. In 2009, you've seen that a big chunk of the losses are coming from systems. But still, we have a leading position, and our strengths are to have an efficient project management, to deliver on time, and to have a proper plan which makes the brand KUKA. And really, clearly, if you go in and see certain plans, the strengths of KUKA are helping to gain the right projects. And if you are head and head in a project, this really makes a difference, that by your strengths, by being seen as a technology leader, and by having the product robots on your side, and you have advantage. Customers don't want to pay more for you, clearly, but on the product side, you have an advantage if you are compared on the cost side. But clearly a tough market. We have to be more global, to also source more globally, because global sourcing means getting down with your costs, something which is ongoing, where I think we, as a market leader, you know where your competition is, and you fight for each single project.
One last follow-up. Have you turned down a project because of bad prices recently?
No, I think it's recently, that is recently for you, for the last 3 months, for sure. Projects are turned down because of margins. We don't get in projects which are, or we're not convinced to get it to a positive level. Really, yes. But that's something where, margin has to come. You don't have to get every contract. You have to get the good contract, and you have to be convinced that you can deliver on this contract, and if you offer something, that you're getting it to black numbers.
Okay. Next question, please. Mr. Rao.
Three follow-up questions, please. First of all, on systems, so there you mentioned in the presentation that you want to increase your regional footprint in markets outside Europe and also in the general industry. Could you please give us an indication for 2009 about the share of sales for general industry and automotive and also your regional exposure for the individual markets, and what are your targets going forward? Secondly, on the break-evens, you said that you want to come down to a level of some 900 million euros. Could you give us a rough indication what does that imply for systems and robotics? And lastly, there was an article on Reuters where you, Mr. Schulak, were cited that KUKA might make a net loss of up to 30 million euros in 2010. Could you please elaborate on that, please? Thank you.
So let me answer the two questions afterwards. The second question was the break-even point, the split between systems and robotics. So the basic ratio behind is round about 600 systems and round about 330 robotics and 30 million consolidation, so it's 900. Now the second one was with the net loss of 30 million. It was a statement from me, it was an estimate from Reuters, and I answered that this was a very good qualified estimate, and I can explain you why. I said before that we have to expect a financial result twice at an amount of 2009. This gives you some 20. And then, as I mentioned before, we have the negative tax rate, as mentioned before, in the companies, especially outside Europe. And when you expect around about, let's say, 5 to 10 million tax expense, current expenses, then you add this number. That's the simple math behind.
Yeah?
Okay? Okay, first question, then Till will answer.
I think on the regional footprint, clearly that we are, KUKA is coming from Europe, is strong in Europe, so a big share of the business in Europe. And we have to grow in Asia and in South America. We see a big project there out. Don't have today the share for 2009, maybe. Yeah. Okay, got it, that we have GI is approximately 18% to be precise in GI for 2009 in systems. So it means 82% in automotive. We set the goal for whole KUKA to grow over the next 3 to 5 years to come to a 50-50 split between automotive and general industry. That doesn't mean we want not grow in automotive, but it means we want to grow stronger in general industry. In automotive, we see, you know, depending also on getting launched the new automotive products. We talked about the lightweight robot, which will allow to have the assembly lines in automotive implemented, which will stabilize and maybe have a single-digit growth of automotive over time, but the big growth, which should be above 10%, is in general industry, and there also not only general industry, but also in markets like Asia, U.S. general industry, we want to grow, and in BRIC countries.
Thank you.
Okay, next question, Mr. Schäfer.
Two follow-up questions, if I may. First one, on networking capital, you made quite a progress in the course of 2009, much appreciated. A question on 2010, even taking into account your single-digit sales growth, do you expect networking capital to decline further on further improvements, or should we expect an increase there compared to the year-end level? And the second question is more a housekeeping one. Could you just share the gross profit of systems and robotics for 2009 with us? Thanks.
The first question, the net working capital expectations for 2010. What you have to take into account is that we have 20 million payments out of the restructuring in 2009, which will reduce the liability side by 20 million in 2010. We also see that our working capital management on the receivables and inventory base was well performing in 2009. So this means in 2010 we should see some slight increase based on the increased top line. So we think that we have good performance in 2009, and the main target is to keep this performance levels based on days sales outstanding and also on days inventory held, that we keep the performance. I think we have a quite good number here achieved in 2009. So this would mean that on the one hand we have some increase on the asset side in the receivables and the inventory, and also some reduction based on the payout to 20 million. So these two factors, you can see that this will increase the working capital. The major potential to offset this negative impact of these investments is on the accounts payable side. This was a very low number in 2009. We want to increase the number again in 2010. But today's expectation is that we cannot fully offset the impact on the payouts of the restructuring, also on the receivables inventory side. So we expect today an increase in working capital in 2010. Gross profits for 2009, systems robotics, my question now to Mr. Spitzer, is this ordinary disclosure?
No, it's not in the annual report.
It's on the annual report and normally also in the segment reporting, and sorry for that, but depending on the typical disclosures which KUKA gave in the past, if it was not disclosed in the past, then it will continue not to disclose the gross profit margins. We have done it?
Yeah, in the past.
It was closed, disclosed in Q3 reporting.
Yeah. Oh, but these numbers didn't in the report.
Systems gross profit was at 9%, but you have to take into account the extraordinaries included there, and in the robotics side it was 30.7% gross profit margin in 2009.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, next question. Yeah.
Stefan Augustin from BHF Bank. You have the strategic initiative to grow and globalize your business. That is, should be especially for Asia and Latin America and so on. Do you have any, well, let's say, expense plans to that? How much, how large would your investments be in the next couple of years on that? And then if you expect for 2010 a growth of 8% in the robotics systems, my calculation would be right that you should also assume then quite a growth of around 5% at least in your systems business. Where are you most confident to achieve that growth in sales? And then you had a quite nice order intake in the fourth quarter in robotics. Do you think you're able to be somewhere around that level in 1Q or in 2Q 2010? And finally, do you have something like, an equity share target in your financing structure in 2 or 3 years down the road? Thank you.
Potentially we missed some questions, so then please repeat them again. I want to answer at least some questions I have now noticed here concerning growth systems, robotics, in this mid-single-digit growth. I would say that overall it's a comparable growth rate for both businesses. We have as underlying assumption here for 2010. Concerning the equity share, well, the long-term target, today I would say what would be a sufficient equity ratio I would consider as a nice rate is 30% roundabout, but this is not necessarily a number where you have to add further equity. It's simply a question of which balance sheet total do you assume in the future. So it's two components. The one is the total amount of equity required to achieve this equity ratio. Second one, which balance sheet total do you expect in the future? So this is a combination of two. The other question was the orders on the robotics side. What is our the run rate now in the first 2 months, 2010? I think we have mentioned this also in the Q3 report, that from September on we have seen some nice recovery on the order side in robotics. This kept on going then from September on. And also the current guidance for the 2010 top line of mid-digit growth rate compared to 2009 is still valid and supported by the order situation in the first 2 months of 2010.
I think to your first question on the growth in Asia and BRIC countries, how do you want to achieve this growth? clearly our customers, Volkswagen, Daimler, BMW.
Just sorry, the question was more pointed on how much or what is the size of the investments to plan to get to these growth rates in the globalizations. I mean, typically you have to expand your sales force.
Just a point I want to come to.
Okay.
Yeah? I think we're going to grow with our customers in Asia. Today we are focused on Europe. We have a strong sales force, and we see that we will shift some sales force, not from Europe to Asia, but we will efficiently strengthen or to take people out of the European sales force and take this vacancies into Asia. We believe that in Europe we can do the same with a more lean sales force and therefore increase sales force in Asia and in South America, for example, and U.S. It won't be a shift from, for example, Belgium to Shanghai or Malaysia because you need expertise from this country. On the one hand, you can serve some German clients in Asia, but you need the local couleur. That's not that you have big expat programs. It's more that we have to get our global presence to have global and to have local people in these countries. So it's not a big program. It's more being more efficient in Europe and shifting these resources, not as an employee from Europe to Asia, but shifting this free resource to U.S. and to South America and Asia.
Hey,
sorry,
yeah.
Just on the growth in the system side, do you think this is mostly coming from automotive in 2010, or do you expect some orders in the aerospace systems, or is it driven by the solar business?
You know, we have seen a mix in 2009 of 20% general industry. I think, you know, solar market is a market where you see some elephant deals. If they're coming, it's nice, so you might have a much bigger share. We want to grow stronger in general industry. So from 18, we should have a higher market share in the higher share of general industry. Currently, we see lots of automotive contracts coming, so clear target is to grow stronger in general industry. But I think today it would be premature to give an indication where we see the big contracts coming.
Hey.
Thank you.
Maybe we have here the last question from Mr. Ubert, please.
Thank you very much for final questions. One was a follow-up question with regards to the one-off cost savings you want to assume in 2010. You mentioned some 20 million, Mr. Bickel. Can you comment on that, in which areas we should see these additional one-off items? And then just a follow-up question on the double net financial result in 2010. How much of that is really these one-off payments you mentioned earlier, so that we can at least assume to improve in 2011? It's a question for Mr. Schulach then. Many thanks.
Let me give you the answer to the first question. The 20 million which I mentioned is about personal costs, which is 50 million. About 2 million in materials and SG&A costs about 2.8 million. That's the one-time effect.
The last question from you was? Okay. So it's a minor share. It's a low single-digit number, which is the upfront payment, and the higher portion is then capitalized and depreciated over time. So when this was the last question round, Andreas, I have to want to make some major remark, which is important for me concerning, since we have the analysts here and they're working then in the next time on their previews. I want you to keep in mind that based on the current guidance for 2010, which means operating EBIT is positive, and also the single-digit growth on the top-line numbers, please keep in mind also that we still expect for 2010 the typical KUKA seasonality. This means it's a relatively weak Q1, a little bit better Q2, and a stronger second half year. So please keep this in mind concerning a preview and also expectations for the first quarter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, you have the contact details to the IR team, and we're happy to receive future questions from you. Thank you, and have a good afternoon. Okay.